This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
That's right. We are revving up your Sunday nights with lots of things to do with news and motoring and all that kind of stuff. I don't know about tips, but we'll give you lots of news and we'll talk lots of crap. You're listening to Fender Bender, of course. My name is Tim Nicholson. In the studio today, we have two incredibly knowledgeable gentlemen, Mike Costello, Brian McLeish. Boys,
hello.
Thanks for being here. How's it going?
Well, thanks. How are you?
Good, good. Enjoying the sun today?
Yes, too much of it.
I'm enjoying the President's Cup golf. How lame does that make me?
Fairly lame.
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. When you say enjoying it, do you actually really enjoy it?
I do.
What is it about it?
I don't know. I find it it's a relaxing thing to watch. And
right.
I'm in awe of the skill that these guys have. It amazes me.
Yeah, it's excellent to watch on TV.
So I've been sitting on a couch watching golf, which isn't everyone's idea of a fun Sunday.
No.
It's equivalent to cricket, really, isn't it?
It is.
Wow. They're
two sports you can go away from for like an hour and come back and you haven't really missed all that much.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's true. No, not into either of those, sadly, but as Murray said, I think there's some car racing on today.
Correct.
So, there is.
Yes.
Yes. Jamie should take this out, I would suggest.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
You're saying that's it.
That's
he's going to do it.
He'll do it.
Yeah.
There'll be no problems about it. He'll smash him today.
Good-o. And if he doesn't, you are screwed, my friend.
If he doesn't, I just look stupid on radio. So
exactly.
You know, it's hard to look stupid on radio, really.
Semantics.
True. Semantics. That's very, very true. But we'll all try and look stupid today on radio.
We don't need to try. We just do.
Exactly.
If you some of us need to try.
If you had a video camera in here, you know, you'd see how stupid. No, we've got quite a bit to get through today. Mike, I think we're going to preview a bit of Tokyo Motor Show, which is all very techy and very exciting.
Indeed.
Segoi, ne? We will also finally commence our search for the Fender Bender Raddest Car of 2011 Awards. And we will want to hear from you, but more on that later. We're also going to chat with Mike Sinclair from carsales.com.au. He has just driven the brand new Porsche 911, and he's going to rub it in our faces.
How exciting is that?
Yes, very, very exciting. And we may also look at the best SUVs available in Australia at a certain price. Lots of news, of course. Go over to the Facebook page, Fender Bender Joy, and feel free to like us, because we like you, and it's only fair to like us back. Or follow us on Twitter, of course. Lots coming up on the show. Stick around. You're listening to Fender Bender. Mary J is in the spot tonight and she's going to make you feel all right. I love it when I say the lyrics because I feel like I'm the artist little bit.
You don't look it.
Wow. What are you saying? I feel that I'm a strong African-American woman, actually.
Good, good.
Yeah.
All power to you, my friend. All power to you.
Thank you very much. That was Mary J. Blige. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9 and we are all about cars.
And pretending we're strong African-American.
Exactly. Yes, we have lots coming up again today. We're going to delve into what we think are the best cars of the year and want to know what you think are the best cars of the year, or raddest cars of the year, I must say.
Get your terminology right.
Thank you. Exactamundo.
Most rad.
Of course. And, of course, lots happening as we're leading up to the end of the year. Still lots happening in motoring land, Mike?
Yes, the future is here.
Wow.
I know. I've been wanting to say that one for a while. No, and I know Brian's going to like this one.
Yes.
Toyota. This is ahead of the Tokyo Motor Show, which is the one for concepts and the one for all the wacky cool things, as you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
Toyota have announced, and they're going to preview, their first ever production hydrogen car, which is, of course, the rival for the electric car. It's one of the many possibilities for the future of automobiles. And they want to put this into production by 2015. And considering Toyota is as formidable as it is, I'd be very surprised if they didn't. They're saying it has a 700-kilometer range. Mm. There are issues to sort out with crashworthiness and a few other things like that and infrastructure problems. But it's pretty exciting that they're this close to having a full-fledged hydrogen car. Not the first. Mercedes has played with it for a while. And other companies
Honda.
Have done it too. Honda. But Toyota looked to be right at the forefront of the pack with this.
Interesting.
And I know you, Brian, you're a big fan of hydrogen.
I am. I think it is the way of the future in terms of alternative fuel. As you said, the infrastructure is going to be an issue. But look, as I said before on the show, California has 42 hydrogen fuel cells. Honda did that test run in there. So, you know, it's not like it hasn't been done, and there isn't any testing ground that people can review for basically implementing this as an alternative fuel
cell. I think the big difference is, I mean, EV is, as long as we burn coal to power power stations, EV is still going to be a major greenhouse issue, isn't it? So,
it is.
You know, unless we can change the way we power the power plants themselves, it's not going to make a massive difference, whereas hydrogen seems to have a bit more potential to it.
Well, it doesn't change your behaviour as a motorist. So,
but it does give you food for thought, because it's such a volatile substance. And in terms of crashworthiness and things, I mean, I think there's still a little bit to sort out.
Yeah.
But it's very, very exciting.
And it actually doesn't look hideous.
No, it doesn't.
It looks all right.
I mean, it's a concept, and they may dumb it down. And I think there's probably shades of the next Prius in there as well. And the next it may well actually, I'm just speculating here, but who knows? It might even be the next Prius.
Well,
who knows?
Yeah, well, exactly.
But it's on our Facebook, so go and check it out.
Yeah.
It's quite a good looking beast. Now, Audi revealed the 5-door version of their A1.
Oh, yes.
A lot of you listeners out there probably know the A1. It's that really funky looking small Volkswagen Polo based city car. It's already selling like hotcakes. It's very popular for good reason, because it's a very stylish little mini rival, rival for the Mini. And they've released the released pictures of the 5-door over on Friday, and that's coming out early next year. And it looks very, very schmick indeed.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of concern that they may not get it right, because the 3-door is such a distinctive looking car. Maybe, you know, maybe the 5-door conversion wouldn't work, but it looks fantastic, and they've done a really good job of it.
Yep.
And I'm a fan of the car. It's a really nice, stylish little car. A little on the pricey side, but hey, well, it's Audi. You
know, I was going to say,
it's cash out, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. If you've got the money to spend on an Audi, go for gold. I know.
If you had the choice between a high-end Mini and an Audi A1, you'd probably look at the Audi, I think.
I think it's good because it is, you know, it's a very funky-looking car, and I think it's really cute and it's quite attractive. And I'm a bit of an Audi fan, and I just find the A3 to be as dull as dishwater.
It is getting a bit long in the tooth.
Absolutely.
It's the oldest car in their line.
Definitely.
By a mile.
But even when it was released, I was kind of like, oh, really? That's what you've got for your small car? But
you know what I like about the A1 most of all? Mm. Every other Audi is so interchangeable, with the exception of the R8 supercar. Every Audi is interchangeable.
Yeah.
They're like Russian dolls. A4, A6, A8, they're all the same.
Mm.
The A1's very different. It's stylish, it's funky, it's nothing like the rest of the lineup.
That's
and
true.
I just like the fact they've got something that isn't a carbon copy of its bigger brother.
Yeah, that's true. They've done well,
which
actually,
I dig
with that. Yeah.
Finally, Ford, the Blue Oval, finally have a half-decent compact SUV competitor.
Oh, yes.
Well, they don't have it here yet, but it's been unveiled at the LA Motor Show, which is happening at the moment. Bit of a disappointing show, really, but this is the one highlight to really come out of it. Going to be here by early 2013. It's going to be called the Escape, which the current one's also called. The current one is ancient, and it was horrible when it came out, and it's even more horrible now, and they don't sell too many. And it's a massive segment, as we've talked about. Yep. Compact SUVs are hugely popular, and this looks like it's going to put them right at the peak, right at the top of the chain.
Yeah.
And it's exciting because, you know, Ford is one area where they really have no presence at all, and they struggle and they need it desperately, and it looks good on paper anyway.
It does. I've seen the pictures of it. We might get that on the Facebook page as well.
It's already,
there.
So when you're there, go and check it out.
Check it out.
And let us know what you think. But I think it's really cool.
It's pretty good. And it's based on the Focus, I think I read.
It
is that right?
Yeah. Shares elements.
Which has got to be a good thing.
I would say. As we know that, as we talked about a few weeks ago, the Focus is a fantastic car. Look, it's been delayed a bit. It's going to come here a bit later than we thought, early 2013, which is a bit disappointing, but Ford do have their reasons. And, you know, we may have to, hopefully it's worth the wait, I guess.
Well, you'd want to be. I had friends of mine who bought an Escape last year, and I
well,
just,
look, it's,
why,
it is,
why,
it is,
why?
It is a very, shall we say, affordable car. But look, let's just say that if you're going to be looking at a compact SUV late next year, maybe wait a few months until the Escape comes out and give it a look, because it looks pretty cool.
Yep.
And I think that'll probably do it for the week.
Excellent. Well, we'll be back. Speaking of motor shows, LA was disappointing. Well, we don't think Tokyo is going to be too disappointing. So we'll be back very shortly to talk about Tokyo.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Yes, we've been chatting.
You're looking for Triple J. Sorry, you've got the wrong
one. Wrong one, bandwidth. Guys. Well, maybe not with the next song.
But don't let me put the music on, that's why.
Yes, we've been talking lots about new cars. And as Mike mentioned before, LA Motor Show has been on and it's done and dusted, I believe.
It's still going on, but as far as the media is concerned, as far as we're concerned, it's done because all the reveals have happened. Bit disappointing. Very America-centric. as you would expect.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of it's not relevant to us. No. Bits and pieces are, but, you know.
Because you don't hear about it much in the media here at all, whereas
it's
Tokyo,
not one of the biggies. No. Look, it's biggish, but America's big one's in Detroit.
That's right.
Which is the home of Ford and General Motors.
So of course.
We'll have to wait for that one in January to get some real interesting stuff out of the US.
Yeah, but then we cross over to Nihon, and we have the Tokyo Motor Show, my former home. God, I miss that place. But it's very exciting, very techie, I imagine,
it's
Tokyo
exactly
Motor
what
Show.
It's what you'd imagine a Tokyo show would be. It's back at the big site, which is a big venue in downtown Tokyo.
Yep.
And it's what you'd expect it to be. It's techie, it's fun, it's crazy, it's off the charts, wild. Mm. It's, you know, Carmack is kind of letting their hair down a bit, and there's some insane stuff, and there's some amazing stuff. And as I mentioned before, the Toyota hydrogen car is one of the big deals.
That's going to be
You'll find Toyota is going to bounce back in a big way at this show, because they've been a bit quiet lately with the earthquake and all sorts of other things, and I think they're going to really impose themselves on this show.
Mm.
But by no means is it the only thing that's going to be shown.
Yes, it's always a bit exciting. I got myself a little bit lost there, didn't I?
Come back to us.
I know. We'll be back in just a few moments. I can't remember what I was going to say about Tokyo. Oh, the funny thing, that's right. When I lived there, and lots of people would go, and I missed it, sadly, but a lot of people would go who were students and stuff of mine, and they were men, and they were the otaku, which are the geeks, and they go there not really for the cars. They go there because of the pretty Japanese girls who stand next
drape
to the cars.
Over the cars.
Yes, and it's literally, that is, I would say, half the admission in Tokyo are otaku going for a perv.
Sorry to break this to you, but I think that's half of most motor shows.
It is.
It probably is, isn't it?
It is.
To be honest.
It is.
Well, Melbourne lacked this year, quite frankly.
It did.
But yes, there's quite a bit of that going on. Yes. Are we expecting any other exciting kind of reveals at Tokyo?
Yeah, well, we talked last week about this little sports EV concept that Honda's shown. The Mazda Takiri, which is a concept that's going to preview the next 6.
Ah, yes.
And that looks awesome, as every Mazda concept seems to. We've got a plug-in hybrid Suzuki Swift. We've got the next generation Mitsubishi Mirage small car. A hybrid Tourer from Subaru, which is going to preview their next Liberty and Outback. So very important concept there.
Now I saw the
hopefully they improve that.
Yeah, well, from the pictures I saw, it's quite dark, and that's, you know,
yeah, it's very hard to tell exactly what it's going to look like.
Yep.
It can't be worse, can it, really?
No.
And look, there's going to be, you know, Daihatsu, which is a name you might have forgotten, has a bunch of wacky stuff they've revealed, and Honda's got other wacky things. Suzuki's got a whole chain of cars that are off the wall, like the Regina little concept coupe.
Did you just say Regina?
Like I did.
And it looks like a 1960s Fiat.
Whoa.
So
it does,
a strange looking beast.
No, it's a...
Look, you're going to see some lunacy. we don't know everything that's out there yet, but, you know, we'll hear things trickling in over the next week.
Absolutely.
Before it kicks off very late in this month. And it's, you know, it's such an entertaining show, and if you're into that sort of thing, keep an eye on, you know, whatever publication it is you read, because there's going to be some cool stuff trickling through.
Yeah, if you're a bit of a car nerd and you're a bit of a techie nerd, it would be worth making the trip to go to Japan for a week and really, yeah.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but...
don't forget to pack your hazmat. That's probably...
Oh, I see. Yeah. Fair enough. And don't forget to take me with you, guys. Absolutely. But we'll be back very shortly with Mike Sinclair from carsales.com.au is going to be talking about his experience in the...
Direct from La La Land.
Yes, calling from LA. How glamorous are we?
We're going up in the world.
Totally. We're pretty incredible. You are, of course, listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. That is some nice singing there, Mike Costello. Thank you very much. That, of course, was M83 with their song Midnight City, which is very fun.
Bringing back
catchy little song, isn't it?
It's a really good song, actually. It's very
bit of Michael Bolton saxophone there.
Yeah, who doesn't love a bit of sax, man? Who doesn't love a bit of sax?
That's right.
And now, of course, I've mentioned earlier in the show that we have the wonderful Mike Sinclair calling in from LA. Mike, are you there?
Yes, hello Australia.
Thank you so much for joining us.
We feel very glamorous.
I'm sitting on the corner of Dayton Way and Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills, and quite frankly, I shouldn't be here. I'm not dressed well enough. I've got really bad shoes on, but it's a great fight.
Is this?
I've Yeah, well, I'm pretty up because, I mean, we've been driving the brand new 911 today, so...
Of course. So it's been a good day overall, and you're finishing it off being all glam in LA. It's very exciting, We're quite jealous. I think the three of us here are feeling
stewing away in our little studio. Yeah. Yes,
exactly. honestly, you could have a designer frock here, and I'd still be underdressed.
That would look sensational.
Send pictures.
Exactly. Now, Mike, so you've had a bit of a taste of the new 911. Is it true?
Yeah. Look, there was a lot of disquiet about the new 911. They've increased the wheelbase by 100 millimeters and put electric steering in it, which is a bit like taking a Holden V8, putting a four-cylinder in it. But the good news is it's different. It's not the original 911. It doesn't dance around in your hands, but by God, it's a very, very effective tool.
Is this?
It's good. What the Porsche guys have done very quietly is they've developed an electric steering system in their race cars.
Ah.
And they've been very quiet about that, but now it's in their road cars. So what it does is it has the ability to filter out all the stuff you don't want and bring to your hands at the wheel all the stuff you do want. So you can feel everything you need to feel and nothing you don't need to feel.
Oh, wow.
Because that's often been one of the negatives of electric steering is you don't have the sort of feel that you do with a hydraulic system. So you're saying, Sinkers, that this has the feel?
Absolutely, Mike. What you had is you had really the potential for a perfect storm of cookness here. But you have the perfect storm of the potential of the 911 chassis, which is really, really active and has a lot of feedback through the wheel and potentially electric steering that wouldn't let you feel any of that and put all the bad stuff back in. But what they've done is they've managed to generate an electric steering system that allows the right feel through and has the quickness and the ability to work with really, really quick direction changes.
Witchcraft. Witchcraft.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how does it look in the flesh, mate?
I think they term it white man's magic.
Oh, I see. Right. Politically correct. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. No. Good question. What is it? Is the design much different from the previous model?
The car is all new. Effectively, all that's been carried over is the engine cases and the cases for the gearbox.
Mm.
So it's only the third all-new 911 in 48 years.
Jeez.
Yeah, they don't work. They don't do too many designs of it, do they?
Quite monumental.
Goodness, mate. Do you think the 911 crew are going to stick with it?
Oh, look, I think the there will be purists. Well, in the early 1970s, when Porsche decided to lengthen the wheelbase from the original 9910 to the D series. There were purists then who were saying the company had done the wrong thing, it was going to go broke. Well, guess what? They probably said that three or four times. This car here, if they give it a... there will be purists who don't like it, but the bottom line is it's an awesome piece of machinery.
So when are we going to get our hands on it over in Australia, Sinkers? Is it coming early next year?
It'll be on sale in Australia. I think the official on sale is March 11, but the reality is there will probably won't be a lot of cars in the country until early in April, probably after Easter when the main pack hit.
And Mike, obviously it does what it does extremely well, but is it fun to drive? Do you know what I mean? Is there a sense of fun about it, or is it just really serious?
Yeah, look, there is still enough of the original 911 that's in it. The engine note sounds like a 911. The steering, the way the suspension reacts, the way the head nods and it's a little bit light in the front end. It's all pure 911, but it has none of one of the things about 911s is driving a quick required a very particular technique, which there's about seven people in the world who could do it properly. I reckon Walt Roll was one of them, but this thing lets everybody drive. It will make superheroes out of people who shouldn't be superheroes.
Ah, I see. And we're looking, like, obviously Lamborghini, you've got, that's competition, Ferrari, maybe Maserati.
Maserati, probably with the Gran Turismo, Stradale, things like the Aston Martin, Vantage V8.
Yep.
Porsche still counts M3 as one of their key competitors, even though it's a lot cheaper car. You know, we're talking about sort of low 200s for the base model Carrera, and by the time you get a couple of options in it, The Carrera S, which is what we drove today, that's going to be sort of, you're not going to get a lot of change out of 300. So astronomical numbers, and you know, none of us normal people will ever be able to buy one, but we aspire to it.
Hey, did you have a crack at the 7-speed manual?
7-speed manual. That's basically what we drove today. It has a very clever mechanical lockout on the third plane across, or the fourth plane across, I should say. So you can't go from fourth to seventh by accident. You need to get into,
because that could get ugly.
You have to get into the sixth plane to be able to change the seventh. But it's a nice gearbox. It's essentially a close ratio 6-speed gearbox with a overdrive gear.
Okay. Nice. Yep. Sounds good. We're salivating here. And you've also had a bit of a drive or something that's probably a little bit less exciting, but also, I guess depending on where you're from, but the Lexus GS.
Well, less exciting on the surface, but exciting in the fact that here's a Lexus saloon that they've actually got to handle and got to sound like it's a serious sporting saloon. So the Lexus GS will basically be on sale about the same time or a little bit later than the new 911. It's Lexus's executive class car, so it gets up against E-Class 5 Series. It'll probably start in Australia, depending on what model they bring in, because they are talking about bringing the GS250. It could start around the 70 grand mark. The main car, which is the GS350, which will be the lion's share of the volume, will probably be around the 80 mark. And there'll be a GS350 F Sport, which is quite an engaging drive, and that's going to be sort of mid to high 80s is my estimate on where they're going to place it.
That's really quite sharp for that kind of car.
Well, it is, because, you know, the 350, the current GS300, which has been their volume-selling model, but the volume it's been selling is nowhere near what it should be. It's probably doing 5 units a month. This car, they're looking to do 50 units a month.
Well, because it's not had the best reputation, the GS nameplate, really, has it?
And there's a fair bit of stuff embargoed on it until later next week. But I think I started my story on the basis that it's been the car of choice for granddads and ladies with purple hair.
Indeed.
Oh my God, that sounds like it's Toyota Crown-esque.
The new car is going to give them probably a few little flitters in their parts that shouldn't give them. It actually drives really well.
Good.
You're giving it the thumbs up.
Yeah. Look, it's a good thing. It mightn't quite be a 5 Series, but it's not far off.
Beautiful. Well, they're improving year on year, it seems like, with Lexus. So good on them.
They're slowly deciding that a bit of attitude is probably better for the brand overall than ultimate polish, and I think that's probably a lesson in that for all of us.
It sounds good. Sounds very good, Mike. Well, look, we might leave it there. Thank you very much for calling in all the way from LA. Enjoy the rest of your time.
Thanks, guys.
Don't do anything too silly.
No, absolutely not.
That is, of course. Thank you very much. Mike Sinclair, editor of the wonderful carsales.com.au. And there'll be articles up, of course, over the next couple of weeks. Heaps of information that he's just talked about.
Bringing a touch of glamour to the show today.
Exactly. Well, someone had to.
Exactly.
You are, of course, listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Joy. Fender Bender. That's who we are. We do the talking and stuff. Yes, you're listening to Fender Bender or Joy 94.9. We have just had Mike Sinclair from carsales.com.au talking about the new 911, and it's not fair. That's all I have to say. It's just not fair because he's in LA and gets to do that.
Yeah, I know. Just work harder.
Yeah, that's true. And I'll go home and get back in my Lancer. Wow.
Hey, don't tell Stavros you said that. He'll get offended.
I know. He's a very good little beast.
Stavros is a car, by the way. This is a running joke. He's not a slave that he has tied up in his basement.
No. Like no, it's certainly not that.
No, absolutely not. No.
His name's Bob.
Yeah. That's true. Now, we've been threatening for quite a few weeks now to launch our own version of a Car of the Year kind of awards.
Yes.
We wanted to put our own Fender Bendery spin on it. So it's not really a traditional kind of awards for the best cars of the year. We've got some different categories. We thought we'd jazz it up a bit. And of course, to make it work, we want you, dear listener, to get very much involved.
We need you to get involved.
This is it.
We thought, look, there's so many other Car of the Year awards that all kind of follow the same basic structure. And we thought we'll take some of those elements and then not take some of them. So, the cars need to be or need to have been released this year. I think that's a pretty important thing we need
yes.
to do.
Yes.
Just to keep it fresh.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the traditional kind of awards for, you know, best hot hatch or best hatch or best performance car, you know, if you want that, there's so many other places you can go. I think we need to do something a bit different.
Absolutely, because we are different in a good way and stuff.
Yep.
So, yes, no, we try to do something that's a little bit left of centre. So we've decided on some categories,
I mean, we just want to get the ball rolling today. And this is where your input's really important. Because if you think there's a segment that we don't mention that you think should be in there, let us know. And, you know, what we're probably
we won't necessarily agree, but we'll think about it.
This is the thing.
What we're shooting for is we want to decide the winners on our final show for the year, which will be coming in late December. And we thought now's a good time just to get the ball rolling, throw some ideas about, suggest some possible cars and sort of see what kind of feedback we get.
Exactly. So so get your thinking caps on. And there's been an enormous amount of releases in this country this year.
It's been a massive year to be
this
a journo.
This is the thing. And I think what we've done with the categories is it's not just going to be one kind of bunch of small cars in one category. The categories that that Mike has decided on, it's fantastic because you can choose a bunch of different cars that aren't from the same segment.
Yeah, well, I thought
flexible.
When I look back on the releases from the year, one thing I get is there's so many cars that have been released with the same badge as a previous generation model that are a quantum improvement on the predecessor. So I'm thinking the new Kia Rio. I'm thinking the new Hyundai Elantra, the new Ford Ranger, the Peugeot 508, and the SsangYong Corando.
So this is for which category is this?
This is for most improved
Improved car, ladies and gentlemen. So get to thinking as well. There's some good ones there.
There's some cars that have been launched this year, and they're not a new badge. There was a previous generation with the same badge, but the new one seems to have come miles.
Yeah,
and it's
definitely
so much better than its predecessor.
So you got a couple of Kias on
I have an Optima
list.
And a Rio.
Yep.
BMW X3, Jeep Grand Cherokee. Anything that's been released
this year is a
massive improvement on its predecessor.
I just have a real problem with BMW X3. I don't know what it is. I always have. I just thought it was a try-hard.
It's kind of... It's not quite an X5. It doesn't know what it wants to be.
Yeah, it's like the Porsche Boxster.
Yeah, good.
You only buy it because you can't afford the X5. You only buy a Boxster because you can't afford 911.
I mean, show your face in a Turak cafe if you have an X3.
That's true.
That's for sure.
Well, kind of. And I just... Ever since it came out, I'm like, oh, you're just an idiot. You're an idiot.
No, it's boring. It's boring. It's completely made for a market segment, and it screams that they haven't done anything. Anything, you know. It's not an original concept. It's just their filler. It's more of a filler than.
But this is the beauty and the beast of this award segment, most improved, because the X3, the new one, isn't an amazing car, but it's a very, very good car.
Yeah,
at the pointy end of its segment, and the last one, the previous one, was diabolical. It was horrible.
Yeah,
it's a massive step up.
Okay,
so it's not necessarily the sharpest tool in the shed, but compared to its old one, it's amazing. And this is the beauty of this segment.
That's true, and it's true. Even I think about the I think I've mentioned this before, but when I was on a freeway and I saw a Kia Optima, but not the new one, an old one, and I thought, shit, that
change is unbelievable.
Wrong town. It's just like nothing. And then yesterday I was out in my car and one of the new Optimas was driving towards me, and I know we've talked about it a bit on this show. It's just such a striking looking car.
It is.
It's a head snapper.
Definitely deserves to get a bit of a tick in the most improved. Yeah, quite a lot of things could definitely go in that category.
We talked about Ford Ranger, the Aussie developed new Ford Ranger Ute, one of the best Utes out there, and it's compared to the old one, which was a bit long in the tooth. It's massive.
Yeah,
well, that's nearly on my new car list, that Ford Ranger.
Really?
Yeah.
I see. Well, look, there'll be a lot more. We'll come back very shortly and talk about a few other categories that we would like for you to get involved with, and let us know what you think, of course. And we'll be back very shortly, of course, to talk about some other exciting categories for the Raddest Car of 2011 Awards. You're listening to Fender Bender this Sunday afternoon on Joy 94.9, and we have just launched the Raddest Cars of the Year awards.
2011.
That's right.
I don't know what if they're going to get a prize or anything like that. It's just they get the respect from the Fender Bender crew.
Yeah.
And I think any car company in this country would be happy for that.
Wheels Car of the Year is kind of important. Drive Car of the Year, World Car of the Year, but I'm pretty sure the most coveted.
It's the Oscars of the car awards, I believe.
It is.
It's the Oscars.
I don't think we're ever stretching the mark or missing
anything. No. And that's why I'm wearing a dress right now.
Mm-hmm. It's because it's I was going to ask you why you were wearing a dress. I wasn't sure. It's nice, though. Is that Vera Wang?
Thank you.
Like the front and the back.
Look, no, lots of exciting cars have come out this year. There's been some fairly large duds, though, as well.
And, yes.
And some fairly dull things as well, Brian.
Lots of dull things. We're going to call this the Plain Jane Award for this year.
Plain Jane. Not very nice to Janes everywhere, but
no,
yeah. Sorry.
No, that's your dad's fault for calling you Jane.
That's true.
You know, Plain Jane, people who, or car manufacturers whose art department have taken a little bit of a holiday and thought, we'll just rub out this and we'll just draw a line there and maybe the customers will buy them. We're talking about cars like the Volkswagen Jetta, talking about the Toyota Camry. I think that takes out most year's boring car awards.
Yep.
This is a little bit of controversy in here. Two of us think that the Toyota FJ Cruiser is very, very boring.
Really?
However, Timothy over there thinks it's not.
I think it's amazing. No, I think it's the only good thing they've ever brought out.
I think FJ Cruiser can go in maybe an ugly category. Maybe,
that's true.
Maybe not plain.
That's
Jane.
True.
It's very boring. I find it very boring. It's based on a Prado.
It is based on a Prado.
That's not a bad thing, though.
No, it is.
It's tough. Tough as nails.
Yeah.
Look, sure, the running gear is going to be great and all the rest of it, but it's nothing on the original FJ.
No.
Oh, no.
It's bastardized it, really, from my point of view. Could have made it a lot more functional, is all I'm saying. You know,
yeah.
While we're going to pick on Toyota, why don't we talk about the brand new Yaris they've just launched?
Oh, my God. One drove behind me the other day, and I went, what is that?
It's just, all the guys I've spoken to, I didn't do the launch, but all the guys I've spoken to who did said, look, it's a functional car, it's a decent car, and it will sell by the bucket load, as all Toyotas do. But look at the competition that has got in that light segment. Look how sexy and exciting some of the new cars are.
Yeah.
And look at it. It's just a bit dull, like the new Camry, a brand new model, and it's just what you'd expect a Camry to be. And
when's that coming out, the Camry? Is that next
December.
Year?
It'll trickle into showrooms in December.
Trickle.
But
it'll yawn into showrooms in December.
This is so disappointing, isn't it? Because, you know, you've got a clean sheet, not a clean sheet necessarily, but you can start off with a new design and you just do the same old thing.
It's a real shame, actually. I must say, though, getting away from picking on Toyota, even though that is one of my favourite things to do, I noticed you put the Jetta in there. I'd go as far as popping the Passat in there.
Yeah, sure, I would agree.
Dull. Yeah. Both. I can't tell them apart, the new ones.
No,
they've done the Audi. Well, they own Audi, so it's not surprising. Yeah. They've done the whole... But all the new Volkswagens have the same front end now.
Mm.
They've all got a family front end. And it works on some models. The new Tiguan looks good on.
Doesn't it? I reckon it's great.
The Jetta and the Passat, the new ones are as dull as their predecessors, if not duller. They're very competent cars. The Jetta and the Passat are both good cars.
Yeah.
They're just boring.
Yeah,
and look
really?
At the, and once they're again, safe. Look they're at look at the competition they're going up against. Some pretty exciting metal.
Yeah.
In both segments, and while they're competent, they're just a bit, sleepy. Yeah.
Well, maybe they've got a part of the marketplace that no one else is enjoying, and that's called boring people.
Or people who want a European badge but don't want to buy a BMW.
Or don't want anything that looks too leery, like the new Volvo S60 or something that's maybe a bit more of a stylish kind of car. Yeah. Somebody that wants something doesn't really shout out, hey, look at me.
And look, we're not going to judge.
I
don't want to be too catty, as boring as it is not to be catty.
That's true.
Look, we value sexiness in a car, don't we?
That's true.
It just doesn't have it.
This is the thing. And I think one of the categories will be sexiness, but maybe we'll cover that next week. Not sexiness, that won't be the category. It will be like something called sexiest car.
We did touch on the fuglies.
Oh, we did.
The fuglies.
No.
Can you never say that we touched on the fuglies? Speak for yourself.
That is a bit inappropriate, really, isn't it?
I don't want to hear what you did last night.
No.
Just keep it clean.
Saturday night, exactly.
No.
Can I just add one thing, though, to the Plain Jane?
Yeah.
When was the i20 released?
Oh, no, last year.
Oh,
I'm afraid it's ineligible.
Oh, damn. This is good because you know the rules. You know when things are released.
And I'm like a German when it comes to rules.
Yeah.
I'm putting my foot down.
Absolutely. Right. Just thinking, Mitsubishi, did they? No, they haven't released anything in a long time.
They will release the Global Small Colt / Mirage next year, and that will be going in most boring category because it already looks boring.
It'll have to.
That can come another time.
Okay.
But fugly, this is a bit more entertaining. Yeah. Cars have got launched this year that are just ugly, not boring, just plain old ugly to look at. I'm thinking BMW 1 Series.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love that.
Nah.
hideous.
I'm trying to convince my boyfriend to buy one.
We're talking about really low. About a 5-door, yeah.
Ah,
2 doors, all right.
Okay.
And we'll talk about Lexus CT200H. Hatchback. It's a little hybrid hatchback. Yeah. Lexus.
The Lexus Corolla.
It is a Lexus Corolla.
/ Prius.
We're talking Mazda.
It is Brian. Atrocious.
Yes.
My eyes are as wide as you could get them. I've seen a couple on the road now. And I tell you, if you're a Lexus buyer and you've gone and bought one of them,
yeah,
I do feel sorry for you.
Funny little design. I don't know if they're that bad a car. Do you know how they drive?
Oh, I don't care how bad a car it is. Really, honestly.
And it's a hybrid car, so Brian's going to hate it. Yeah, he hates hybrids.
That's true.
I'm thinking Mazda BT50 Ute. I don't mind it. Everyone else hates it.
I hate it.
Hey, let's go for that.
Have you seen the ad, by the way?
Yes,
they keep having the bull bar on the front so you can't see it.
Yep.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Or Mini Coupe. This is one that's going to come at the very end of the year. And it's got a weird roof design. It's called a helmet head. That's actually what they're calling it, a helmet design roof. And it looks like a stack hat.
That is not good. That is alarming. Well, we've actually had some people text in and give us a bit of feedback. Bruce from East St Kilda has said, I think Polo GTI, that might be his pick for best car overall.
Mm-hmm.
He's also mentioned Mercedes
AMG,
SLK.
New car, great little car.
That would be very sexy.
We've got best Suzuki Swift and worst is the Holden Captiva.
I don't know who that's from, but whoever you are. Thank you very, very much.
And they are both eligible cars, so
that's
we're good.
True. Swift's good. Good for them.
Swift's an excellent car.
Now, look, I think we're going to have to talk about... We do have other categories.
Yeah.
We may have to get to them next week.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we're going to have best concept car.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, yes.
That's a great idea. Yes.
And maybe we can have just overall dud worst car.
Yes.
It's a chance to get our claws out a little bit.
Utter crud.
Mm.
Utter cruddest car. Well, I'll work out something, but yes, definitely. And what we're going to do, we're going to put this on Facebook. So go over to Facebook, Fender Bender Joy, facebook.com/FenderBenderJoy. Go and like us because we'll put up the categories on there.
We'll give you some suggestions of cars we're thinking.
Give us a bit of... whoopsies. I touched something. Oh, no, that sounds a bit creepy. I touched something and it did something weird. you know, people saying Skoda is the best. There we go. We've got people still texting in, which is wonderful. Yes, and somebody else has texted in saying the Jetta is a nice drive and it's very safe. So that's also very exciting.
It is.
But
look...
Boring.
Everyone, think about it. Give us your feedback. Let us know during the week. And we're going to finish off announcing the categories next week.
Absolutely. And then announced the winners, as you mentioned, towards the end of December when we wind up for the year. And it's very exciting. We might have a gala. And I might wear a dress again. Okay. Yes.
I think you're being sponsored.
Brian might wear some kind of tiara. It's going to be very exciting, and we hope you can join us. This has been Fender Bender for another
We're
week.
We're being run out of the studio.
We better flee. Get out. Look, don't forget, we have got podcasts coming up kind of a couple of days after we do the show, so head over to joy.org.au. Tell your friends about it.
Yeah.
Big thank you to Marcus on the phone. Thanks to Mike, Editor-in-Chief Mike Sinclair of carsales.com.au, the man about town. Thank you to Mike and Brian.
Oh, thanks, Tim.
Welcome.
You're more than welcome.
Pleasure's mine, as always.
Excellent. My name is Tim Nicholson. This has been Fender Bender. Safe driving.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.